Makita Ranu, we're on page Peivav. Oz Yimole Schoipinu. The parak is about Simcha. About Simcha and the need for it at the end of time. And because of that great need, how we feel particularly sensitive to the lack of it. The ultimate gula and the zechira is in a way of Oz Yimole Schoipinu. So what's happening to us now? Hasimcha hi ulai ha-mitzvah ha-mavukash b'yoyse b'dereinu. He says, Simcha is perhaps that which is most needed. Ha-mitzvah ha-mavukash b'yoyse b'dereinu. In our generation, what's most desperately needed is Simcha, is joy. Gam hi moitzeis es his galusa b'milua davke b'or chayi ha-omkulo. We haven't been able all the years of galus to experience a full measure of joy. We know that Chazal tells us that until Mashiach comes, it can't be. And only us, Yimol Yisrei Pinu. Yismach Yisrael B'Hoysav, Yismach Hashem B'Ma'asav, and so on. All of the Simcha is only in the future. Even Yitzchak Avinu's name is only Yitzchak. That there will be such laughter. And that laughter cannot be for the Jew by himself. That complete, wholehearted, full laughter can't be until we're together as a people, as a nation. As individuals, we can't completely reach that measure of joy as individuals. Because Simcha is Shechina. Because Simcha is the morale, and all the Kadmonim explain, Simcha is Shleimus. When something is complete, when something is finished, it's done. It's the way it's supposed to be. And therefore, Simcha is Hashvas Hashchina. Soid Ha'em Shel Kulanu. Eim Abanim Simecha. When is there Simcha? There's Simcha when the mother is together with her children. Then the mother's B'Simcha, and the children feel complete and whole. And that's the matzah of Eim Abanim Simecha. When there's a full Hashvas Hashchina, when we feel connected to the Shechina to us. So therefore, in order for the heart of a person to be completely filled with simcha be'emes, with simcha muchachul hashras lashral yana, it can only be when there is this connection of ema bonav samecha, when the shechina is together with Knesset Yisrael. Men in Golis, until the end, we don't have that. Therefore, Rak Bekinun HaMikdash, only when the Beis HaMikdash will be established. U'b'hoifos HaNishom HaKlolis B'guf HaMu'uchad Shal Yisrael, and the great general Nishama, Knesset Yisrael, Nishmas Yisrael will be in the Guf HaMu'uchad Shal Yisrael, in the unified guf of the Jewish people as a nation in our land. Tovo asimcha shleim v'amitis. Can there be complete simcha? By somebody who's not Jewish, on his level and her level, as an individual, there could be complete joy. There could be a certain measure of simcha because the shleimus of that individual doesn't depend upon somebody else's shleimus. It's crazy. I can't really be completely happy if you're not. You can't be completely happy if I'm not. It doesn't work like that in the rest of the world. I remember there's always like this. My father, when I was a kid, my father had in his store, there was a lady that was working there behind the counter. And she was always laughing. My father couldn't stand it. He always used to say, what is she laughing about? What is she so happy about? And I don't know what it seemed to me. It was nice that she wasn't, like they say, the sharpest knife in the drawer. She used to also reach her hand into the cash register for some personal reasons quite often. But she was like B'Simcha. She had what she She had what she wanted. And she was besimcha. Simcha is not so easy by us. It doesn't come so easily. It's not enough to have a couple of dollars, you know, a night off or something. It doesn't happen so easily by us. And I can't be without you, besimcha. Now we depend upon each other that there should be simcha. The Shechina connects completely only with the Jewish people as a people. In that healthy state of being a people in our land. And until the end of time, we don't have that. Therefore, Chazal say that until that time, we can't fill our mouths with laughter. It's not a matter of issa v'hetter. And you and I might sometimes think that it's a full laugh that we're giving about something that we enjoy, that's happy, that's funny, but it's not really. And just when we're happiest, who else in the world hasn't been like this? Just when things are going great and you're happiest, everybody has to stop and say, you're getting carried away with yourself. We have to smash a glass and to remember that that it can't be such a thing now. As if we need a reminder. We don't really need such a reminder, but we are reminded of it. Only b'shuv Hashem Shiva Sion can there be such a thing of Yamal Yisrek Pina. B'dui Ay Hashem Yeshuvan Avaru Tzion Berina V'simchas Olam Aray Sham. All the psukim in Tanakh. Only when B'dui Hashem, those who were captive, those who were taken captive, are going to return. Then Uba'u Tzion Berina. And then there could be V'simchas Olam Aray Sham. There could be a moment, of course we have simchas, and there's a moment of joy, there's some happiness, but Simchas Olam can only be at the end. Only when we are fully awakened. Only when we're fully awakened and the Gula is here can it be really Verananu, complete joy. So we have a parasha in Torah that is filled with Simcha. And that's the parasha of Bikurim. Of bringing the first fruits up to Yerushalayim and reading the Mikra Bikurim, the Vidu Bikurim, Tira Dorva Zebebiru. HaTorah Mitzav Es Adam Lakachas Es HaPri HaRishon B'Sadehu L'Ha'alois L'Mikdash. The Torah commands a person to take his first pre fruit from the field and to bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash. V'Sham Oymed Hu Im Pira V'Nais En Nu'um Shalom. He stands there with his little peyrus, with his pre, it's a little thing. And he makes a whole declaration, Hechel Miyakiv Avinu, and he begins to tell the history of the Jewish people. And beginning from the story of Yaakov Avinu, we say this also in the Seder Lel Pesach, Arami Oved Avi, and Derech Shiba Mitzrayim, Vayareo Son of Amitzrim, we suffered in Mitzrayim, Umishom Yitzir, Vayetzin Hashem Mitzrayim, Ad HaGola Arat, until we came to Eretz Yisrael, Yivienu, Elam Walkim Hashem, and Hashem brought us to this place where I'm standing right now with my peyrus. Ubechois my oimer, and at the end he says, V'ate hine heveisius reishis pri adoma ashenasata li Hashem. And see, here I'm bringing the beginning of the peyrus of my land that Hashem gave me, of our land. Haterem et savis adam lahabit al hapri shetzemech beginoso. The Torah is commanding us to look at that little fruit, whatever it is, to look at that fruit, not the way that a person normally would look at the fruit and admire it, that it's delicious, and enjoy eating it. But when a Jew looks at the fruit, Hashem's Baruch wants the person to look at that fruit and to remember that this fruit is here after a long shalshelos, it's not stam, it's a long chain of events, of history, that led to this fruit. And he's going to go on to explain to even now, when we don't have, unfortunately, in the meantime, we can't bring Bikurim, but if you have the schustel of an Eretz Yisrael, that's how you should look at your garden now also. And that's how you should look at the street in Eretz Yisrael. That's how you should look at a tree in Eretz Yisrael. That's how you should look at everything that's there, because really you could say, the Mikra Bikurim over everything that we enjoy in Eretz Yisrael, because everything didn't just all of a sudden appear. It's after Shtalshalas from Bereishis and the others. Now, that would mean that a goy could also look at the world in such a way. But he explains what this means. Shetchilasa etz Yaakov Avinu. When you're looking at this fruit, this comes from Yaakov Avinu. That's where it began. From the Alfei Shanim, I mean, of course, before, but as the Shiftei Kaz, a nation, or the beginnings of a nation, thousands of years ago. Now you're looking at this little ta'ena, this fig. That's the bikurim from your backyard in Eretz Yisrael. Laharis la'adam shahamashmos ha'amitis shel ha'ta'ena hazu. The Torah is telling a person to think about this, because you could only really appreciate and understand and feel that full measure of joy when you look at this ta'ena, davki mitach skir historis v'chava, from that broader historical perspective of where it's coming from. Parsha zu shel Torah hi even yisoy l'gabi kol ha'yachas shalon l'merchav cheinu ha'ish. So he's explaining that if you want to see how the Torah is telling us, how the Torah expects us to relate to our own personal lives and the brachas that we have in our lives, then you have to look very carefully at this parasha of Bikurim. But it's talking about Chayenu Ha'ishim HaChumrim. It's not talking about how my davening is going, how my learning is going. It's talking about how my garden is doing. Not about my davening and my learning. It's about my gardening, my pears. V'kal v'choy ma'aruchniyim. Alachas kama v'kama, whatever I have been zeichet to achieve or to have in my spiritual life. But the Torah is talking very, very simply. Habatim, hanechosim, v'akinyon b'Eretz Yisrael, the houses that we have in Eretz Yisrael, the belongings, the kinyonim, the things that we have that belong to us in Eretz Yisrael. Einim rak haslochi ishes. It was my little ta'ena, my little fruit, my little garden or house, my dira, whatever it is. Einim rak haslochi ishes. It's not just that I'm happy because of my personal success, that I've been able to own, that now I'm able to own karka, house or something in Eretz Yisrael. I have fruits that are growing in Eretz Yisrael. It's not just about my personal joy. Now here's the chilik between a Yisrael and a Ben Noach. Ella his galmus chalom shel alfei shanim. Of course, the world doesn't understand this, and the world hates us. Besides other reasons, they hate us for this. This ta'ena that this sweet little farmer or this Jew is taking from his backyard and bringing up to Yerushalayim, or even now, what a person has, it's the realization of a dream of thousands of years. U'misha mabit b'tmuna ha'amitis v'ashleima. Only a person who looks at the true and complete picture of his life, of who he comes from and where he comes from. As I said, chayev ha'protim, mekablum es meloi mashma'usam. Then your own personal life can be understood. Meloi mashma'usam in all of its deep meaning. Then your own personal life, it's not just you that you appeared in the world and you have your own small little personal achievements and success. There's a tmuna amitas hashleima, there's the much, much bigger picture. Memela es meloi simchasam kfisha toiv misayemes pashazuv ameres v'samachta b'chol hatoiv. The Torah ends the Parshas Bikurim by saying, "V'samachta b'chol hatoiv." B'chol hatoiv doesn't mean all of the fruit in my backyard. It means b'chol ha'toiv of what? Where does this toiv come from? B'chol ha'toiv. B'chol ha'toiv. Asher nosn l'cha Hashem l'kecho lo v'esecho ata v'ha'levi v'ha'ger shebekir becha. Where does your home come from? When did this garden begin? This isn't something that is just a short time ago, or just the story of my own personal life. And this is a problem. This is why, and he goes on to explain, this is why there's so much unbelievable sadness in the world. And we see by us, even Jews, Hashem and Torah Mitzvahs, there's such unbelievable sadness. Because when a person looks at this ta'ina, at this fig, only within the mizgeres, the framework of his personal life, erka ena ela pruta. So what is it? It's a pruta. The Torah didn't say to bring up tons and tons of stuff and to bring it to Yerushalayim. The Torah says you put a gumi around the thing that's growing. You take this up afterwards to Yerushalayim. It's worth a pruta. It's worth a penny. And you know the whole. I mean, of course, people could bring more, and there was the minhag to bring more, and there was the ataris bikurim, the itur bikurim to make it more beautiful, and then they would come into Yerushalayim. There was a whole parade coming into Yerushalayim. What was going on? There was a whole maimed coming to Yerushalayim with the bikurim. Where else? The interesting thing: a person could march in with a grape, or the ta'ina he's marching in, and everybody around is throwing him kisses and crying and coming to hug him. Well, like walking into with a penny, like in a parade, walking down Fifth Avenue holding a penny. The whole thing is crazy. Because erka in a pruta, the valley is only a pruta. Ach im mabit baba mabit haklali. But the Baruch Shalom is saying, in order to have joy, in order to really feel joy, you have to look at our people and where we're coming from, that bigger picture. A mabit klali. Kaskiras Mikra Bikurim. The way that the Torah tells us to look at things in the Mikra Bikurim, by the Parsha Bikurim, Beis HaMikdash, Yishalayim. Hey, chelik mechalom shehizga Hashem. This little ta'ena, this pruta of a fruit, is a chelik of a national dream, of a dream of millions of people over long years of galus. A promise that was made to our Ovis and to Ayimahos. Shehizgashem. That it came to be. Chaloim shohayim achazik es agvim hamukim shel Ovis avaseinu. This dream gave chizik to the beaten bodies of our ancestors, to the beaten and bruised bodies of our grandparents and great-grandparents. The dream of that te'ena, of walking into Yerushalayim with that ta'ena. Nobody thinks about Brooklyn in such a way. Nobody thinks about anything else in the world in such a way. Only we do. B'meshach alfei shanim, thousands of years. Acholim. Ma gedor li simchas lev ha'adam. How great is the simcha in a person's heart? When you look at the meaning of your life in such a big way, in a much broader way, you look at the meaning of your life, and he explains the more. He says, "Habet no re'e, take a look and see. Kim teitzel rechavis Yerushalayim. You go out to the streets of Yerushalayim. Remember, I told you just a month or two ago how Reb Tzvi Yehuda Cook, Zichron Levracha, how he was standing with a Talmud by a red light, and there was so much traffic, it took a while to be able to cross over some boulevard in Yerushalayim. And the whole time, Tzvi Yehuda was like clapping and was excited. And like, why do you get so happy about traffic? It's better to cross the road, no? Than standing there having to wait for a long time to cross. And afterwards, so the Talmud asked Tzvi Yehuda, Tzvi Yehuda said, this is a dream that we've had, that the streets are filled with Jews, the roads coming and going Jews. It's the opposite of what we learned on Tisha B'Av and Eicha. It's the Hizgashmus, it's the realization of all that we've been hoping for and all that we've been davening for all of these years. He says, when you go onto the streets of Yerushalayim, Tira Benachas Zekenim Zekenas, Yoshim Al Safsala, you could see old men and women sitting on the benches, and you could hear the sound of children playing in the streets. Now you could hear those sounds and see those things in Brooklyn also. And in Manhattan and in London and in Paris, you could see those things. There are old people sitting on benches. On Ocean Parkway? No? You don't have old people sitting along Ocean Parkway? You could see that. And there aren't children that are playing in the playgrounds, and you could hear them playing and laughing. But it's not the same thing. It's very nice, it's very beautiful, but it's not the same thing. Halayirchav levav enosh lamarim marnin, to the heart of a Jew, becomes so expanded and filled when seeing this. Ki zocha liras ayin ba'ayin b'kiyim nevuah Zechariah, because you're seeing with your own eyes the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. Ko amar Hashem tzavokos. The Navi said a long time ago, the day will come when you're going to see old people, men, old men and old women, relaxing. Not being hunted by some Nazis in the forest, but sitting, and each one is holding his staff, his shtekel, his stick, because they've reached an old age. It's not so poshut for a Jew to be allowed to live such a long time that he already needs a stick in order to walk. He needs a cane. Mirav Yomim. Urchayves Heir Yimolo, and the streets of Yerushalayim are going to be filled one day. Not the bomb shelters, you understand? Not the miklatim. The streets of Yerushalayim, in the open, not being afraid of our enemies, not hearing the sounds of missiles and so on. B'chayvus here yimoli yelodim yelodos misachakim b'chayvusah. The streets of Yerushalayim will be filled with boys and girls playing. The Navi Zechariah said that a long time ago, and it really hasn't been, and even now. Baruch Hashem, we're seeing it, but it's still not Oz Yimol Yischaik Pino. It's not complete. It's not complete. There were Jews from Yerushalayim who were inviting Jews from Sderot to be able to come spend a few days with them. Now, because over there in Sderot and in Ashdod and Ashkelon, because they were going crazy from what was happening. So the Jews of Yerushalayim are saying, come to us. Our enemies are trying to reach Tel Aviv, and they're trying to reach Yerushalayim. And they're trying to reach every Jew the same way that it's been all of the years of our galus, even now, in our country, before Mashiach comes. And you could be playing, the children could be playing in the streets of Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden there's a sound, and there's a siren, and then all around there are ambulances, and there's noise of pigua, right? That there's something happened, people are injured, there were terrorists. There was an explosion. And even if you're not hurt yourself, and even if there's no one that you know that was hurt, and everybody is okay, and you call everybody and everybody is fine. According to one opinion, Chazal was the P.S.S. that brings down, as you know, in Eish Kodesh, that Tzor Yemenu couldn't live because Yitzhak was almost killed, right? That's enough to kill a mother. To know that your son was standing, was lying down and the knife was right over his neck, even though the knife never touched the throat of Yitzhak Avinu, but parcha nishmasa shel sara, but neshama's soul left her according to that view that says that kimat nishchat, that he was almost killed. So the Rebbe says, even though we made it back, you know, we're alive today, we survived this day, we survive this day. But every single moment is a moment of kim'at, of I almost didn't survive, or my kid was almost killed, Or it could have just as easily been my child, Chas v'chalila, could have been. From that alone, Sari Menu couldn't go on living. And the Rebbe says, because Sari Menu was filled with bitachon, she wasn't a weak person, but she wanted to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Shalom, stop scaring your children. We can't live like this. People can't go on living day after day in such a way, running into bomb shelters. And people say, nobody was killed. And of course, all the newspapers are saying how many Arabs were killed, Kilo. Like that we attacked them or something. How many Arabs were killed? No Jews were killed. You know, last week, there were plenty, 2 weeks ago, there were plenty that are, and it's still now not well because of the shock and the fear and having to live in such a way. We don't know what that's like over here. We don't know what that's like. We don't feel that. And even if you're further away from the bombing, it's always that feeling of kim'at. And then therefore until that time there can't be complete simcha. The tachas katnas adas shenirayah elas rash tzaakas ayaladim v'raytenas al kol ha-hamula. And instead of the state that we're in, of this terrible katnas adas, that our minds are shriveled because of all of the noise that we hear coming from children, but it's not the noise of children laughing. And even when we hear children laughing nowadays, and even if we do hear children laughing, he's saying, the katnas adas comes from, I find this to be annoying. This is annoying me. I was talking to my wife just before I came. We had Baruch Hashem. My children came from Yerushalayim now for a simcha with the grandchildren. And I have another one of my kids that they're doing some work in their house in North Woodmere, so they've been over for the past couple of weeks and they're staying for a while, Baruch Hashem. And one of the kids said that, walked in, there were babies, Kanayin Hara, all over the place, and said, this is a, one of the grandchildren said, this is like a baby heaven. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm Chaz Hashem, it's such an unbelievable balagan now in the house. What's going on? And when you're in a place of katnas adas, that can make you crazy. That's a balagan. You know, by the Goyim, there's a thing called empty nest syndrome. You know what that means? It means that.
No idea.
What?
I don't have any idea.
Right. Baruch Hashem, the nest should never be empty by any of us. Should never ever be empty. Chas v'shalom. The nest should be full, and the little ones should come back. The birds should come back to the nest. It's not empty, it's full. But when you're in a place of katnas adas, you can just get annoyed and upset. You can get annoyed and upset. My daughter, my Chani, she's a fantastic baker. And she made chocolate chip cookies. She makes fantastic stuff. And my favorite is chocolate chip cookies. Anything that has chips in it, I like. Chocolate chips, I like. You can put it in a hamburger, I'll eat it. Chocolate chip cookies. So she made, she made a whole batch of chocolate chip cookies. She said, Daddy, have. She said, Daddy, take some. You know, I made a few, Daddy, have some. So I said, no, I don't know if like you have later or I'll have for Shabbos. So she said to me, they're not going to make it, Daddy. Said, trust me, they're not going to make it. Take it while you can. Because there's a big island, can I know? She says, really, you just take one. Even if you have to hide it, you know, put it someplace, it's not going to be here later. And I was thinking about this, and you know, knowing that we're going to learn this now, and I was thinking, that's the Bikurim, Ramesh Bikurim. I'm not upset that the chocolate chip, I love chocolate chip cookies, I don't love them, I like chocolate chip cookies. I like chocolate chip cookies, but I like even more than that, that they're all gone. Not because I ate them. They're all gone because the children and the grandchildren, the Kanainahara, they're all gone. They're all gone. My parents didn't have anything to eat for years of their lives. There was nothing there. And now there's so much food and everybody can eat it. And everybody can enjoy it. What could be better than that? That's not Bikurim. That's Mamash Bikurim. But before Mashiach comes, even when the children are laughing, they're laughing too loud. Now, the Brisker Rav, you know, was not known for his sense of humor. You know that. He was not known for being like a big laughing kind of person. And yet, it says in the Talmud that there was of the Brisker Rav that there was a big Rosh Yeshiva that didn't say who, but some big Rosh Yeshiva came to visit the Brisker Rav. And the Brisker Rav had Einiklach that were running around and making a balagan like children make. They're knocking things over and throwing things, and it could be it almost hit the Rosh Yeshiva's head, something like that. You know, it was they lived in a little place in Yerushalayim. It was a balagan, or maybe then they were still in Brisk. It could be they were children. I don't know. Or it was Einiklach, but they were little kids running around. And the Rosh Yeshiva that was visiting was very annoyed. He was getting like more and more annoyed, and he finally said like, "Still, like quiet already. Like I'm trying to talk to the Rav. Quiet." And the Biskov said to him, "Listen to me. The children are laughing is they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's natural to them. That we're not able to laugh is something that's terribly wrong with us. Why do you want to stop them from laughing? You want to stop them from laughing? That's what they're supposed to be doing. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But think of how easily we do that when we're in that crazy time when all the kids are around and it's noisy and it's busy. It's a katnas adas. The whole nevuah of Zechariah Navi. The whole nevuah of Zechariah Navi is that the streets will be filled with children laughing. Nowadays you hear children, you can open your window and say, "You'll be quiet out there. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to rest. Could you be quiet?" What's it going to be like when that sound will only be beautiful to us? It's not going to ever, ever annoy any of us. It's only going to be beautiful. The Navi says that's what's going to be. This Chani wants us to, so they have a son. My grandson's name is Elisha Yitzchak, Elisha. And Chani heard my Elisha's sister, my granddaughter, Shana Malka, talking to a friend. And the friend says that, the friend was saying that she has a brother. Shana's friend was saying that she has a brother whose name is whatever, Avi, I don't know, whatever. So Chani heard Shana Malka saying to the friend, "I have a brother, his name is Elisha. He was a big prophet." And we don't know how she heard that. I don't know where she heard that. I don't say the word prophet. I don't know whether she heard the word prophet. And in English, somebody told us a prophet. And Chani told us, we're all laughing. I said, "You called him a prophet? Where did she say prophet? Where does it come from, the word prophet?" So maybe if you live in a house with business people, they could be talking about prophets. But in our house, we don't have that. And it's with a PH, not with an F. So where did little Shana Malka come up with that? So she says, a Navi. The teacher said, a Navi is a prophet. But she doesn't know what a Navi is. She doesn't know what a prophet is. She said, I don't know, she heard. I don't know, because the parents said that Elisha is a Navi, and she heard that a Navi is a prophet. So she says, "My brother's a prophet. I have a brother who's a prophet. His name, he means a prophet." The prophet is saying to us that the time will come where we're going to be able to enjoy the laughter of children in the streets of Yerushalayim. Completely. Because children, Jewish children in the streets of Yerushalayim is not like children playing anywhere else. Kids playing in the streets of Yerushalayim is the fulfillment of a dream of thousands of years. It's the kiyum of what Hashem is both told Avraham Avinu when he told him, "Habet na shemaimu suanes kachom tucha lispo esam koi yezerecha, koi yezerecha." And when you look at a child in Yerushalayim playing, it's koi yezerecha. It's not a child playing in Brooklyn. It's something different. Oh, that's beautiful too. But this is something else. Koi yezerecha. V'yoytze yisachutza. B'mabit zem mitzukas anadlon dekabo proportzia nechoin lemul his gashmus hanavua. Listen, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of financial stress. The mortgage and so on, and paying, the crisis of paying for things, money that's owed. But when a person looks at the whole picture of the schus of being in Eretz Yisrael now, even with the difficulty paying the mortgage and all the other expenses and the taxes and so on, but if you look at it in the right way, the Kabbalah purports it will be looked at proportionally in the, right, in the correct proportion. Lemul his gashmus hanevuah. In light of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the nevuah, ki cho amar Hashem tzavakas lekei Yisrael, oid yikonu botim v'sodais, uchromim ba'aretz hazois. When we went out to Galus, we thought we were finished. That's it. And the Novi Yirmiyah said to us, no, you're going to see. Hashem is telling you. Oid yikonu botim v'sodais, uchromim ba'aretz hazois. Ah, can't be. The time's going to come, you're going to be buying houses and fields and vineyards. We had a tour guide years ago, Chaim Begens. Chaim was an unbelievable Jew. He lived in Kiryat Arba. He was an American that lived in Eretz Yisrael for many years. And years ago, we went with him around a few times. We went on to different places in Eretz Yisrael. He was intoxicated with Eretz Yisrael this year. Mamish in love with Eretz Yisrael. And he would stop the car when we were going, and he would take us out, and there were payers and the vineyards in different places, and he was showing us, and he would start like to do a record by the payers. Such a feeling of the fulfillment of the nevuah. Umimela, next page, tuar hanefesh lahavchin mai hi soirus amitis latikon mayu mahu b'chayon she'ena yadas l'rois b'tuv Hashem b'eretz Chaim. Therefore, the soul of a person can be enlightened to understand, to make a chiluk. When is it something that really, really is a problem that needs tending to and needs to be taken care of? And when is it that you just bachyonis means you're just a crybaby? What is it? Sheena yadas l'reis b'tuv Hashem b'eretz Chaim. You don't appreciate the tuv Hashem b'eretz Chaim, the brachas of all the nevuos that are being fulfilled before our eyes. That you're crying about little inconveniences and problems. Hasimcha v'hi prisha nekudas histaklus. Hasimcha prisha nekudas histaklus. Simcha is the fruit of nekudas histaklus. Of the inner nekuda of how you look at something, whether you're happy or not happy. There are people who are happy with very little, and people who are miserable with a lot. So obviously, it's not just an inyan of the mitzias. It's not just a matter of mitzias, because this person is happy with very little, and this person is miserable with so much. And even the same person can go through different times and different moods. It all depends on the kudas histaklus, on the way that you look at something. Kol oid tia histaklus mitzum tzemes v'dala. As long as a person has a very, very constricted and narrow and impoverished way of looking at something, at reality, at one's life, then gama simcha tia behetem. Then that's the simcha that you have. And that's been golus. That's when a person is in golus. Gama simcha tia behetem. So you could have the most beautiful house and everything could be great. And so how come you're not happy? Or how come your simcha is not a big simcha? What's the matter? Because if the nekudas ha'istaklus is in a place that's mitzumtzum, if one's perspective is small, if one's way of looking at things is very constricted, in at kedei kach that it could be that yesterday I made more money than today. So from that already, the person's not able to be besimcha. Because yesterday I made more money than today. Today you also have all that you need. But yesterday I had more. So today I made less. And from that already, I am not so much besimcha. That already stares my whole simcha. Yesterday I made this amount of money, and today I made 10% less than that. That could stare my simcha. But the cabinets are full, the refrigerator is full. That already stares my simcha. Zes soid ha yogin shabadarenu. This is the secret of the depression, the sadness of our generation. Because never before had people had so much like they have now. Things have never been as good as they are. It's never been near anything like this. Everybody's comfortable here, right? Maybe you have, one of you might feel it's a little too warm, might you might feel chilly, but it's pretty good. The temperature's good. You're sitting, it's comfortable. My father's uncle Zonzai told me that when he came to America, he came Erev Shabbos, and when it was, and he went, he had somebody brought him to the west side of New York. That's where he spent the first Shabbos, because there was a relative that came to America before the Milchama who lived there. And she was the one that got the papers, you know, for them to come. And they stayed. My father and my uncle, Oliver Shlomo ben Chaim Chaim, they stayed on the west side. And they had to go down and they had to find the Beis HaMedrash. My father's aunt told them where there's a Beis HaMedrash. Over there on the west side, you had Bat HaMedrashim then. And now also Baruch Hashem, but they were Bat HaMedrashim. And my father said that the two of them went Friday night to Davin. Right when they got off the boat, that Friday, they went to Davin someplace. And my father and my uncle walked into this medrash, and my father said, everybody had a chair. He said, never in his life saw such a thing. Because they only davened on benches where he came from. He said, never saw. The Rav used to have a chair. He said, never saw that. People have, everybody gets a chair. And he said that he remembers that. So he sometimes talks about that. He said, he still says that everybody has his own chair. Can you imagine? My father says, can you imagine? And then he said that there were Jews that were sitting there, and they walked in, and they were learning, he said, and they were learning in English with each other. They weren't talking in Yiddish, they were learning in English. And my father said, it's a strange country that people here learn in another language, that they don't know how to talk regular language. When you're learning a Blat Gemara, you have to learn in Yiddish, you don't learn in another language. He said he never in his life heard such a thing. He remembers from that first Leil Shabbos in some shtiebel somewhere on the west side. That everybody has a chair. But nowadays, if somebody took your chair and you have to go to the next chair, ooh, that's my chair. You can't daven the whole davening. You're looking at that chair, sitting in my chair. And even if you want to be good, because you know you might get in trouble if you say something to him, see, but the whole time you can't daven. No. How could I be happy sitting in God's house if this guy's in my chair? How could I be happy? This guy's in my chair. Anyway, who is he anyway? He's a lo yitzlo, he's a nobody. And if he would know how great a person I am, he would never sit in my chair. You have a chair. You have a place to daven. Yeah. These are things that don't bring us much simcha. Don't bring us much simcha. Because our nekudas ahistaklus is so pathetically small. It doesn't have a life before, and it doesn't have anything after. If it had a life before, it would be, yesterday I had my chair. If it would have a life after, it would say, tomorrow I'll have my chair. It only has this tkufa. My istaklus, my nekudas istaklus is so tiny, it has this little time in existence, this tiny little time. This shachris, this mincha, this ma'ar, that's all it has. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Not Baruch Hashem, that the seats are filling up in the shul. Isn't it wonderful that there are Jews that are coming to daven? What a bracha we have. But when a person's nekudas istaklus is small, it makes no difference how good things are. And he says that's what our generation is suffering from terribly. He says, we're just not satisfied. We don't have sipuk and nachas from what we have. A little taina that we'll never ever do now. A little taina. You have to have a fruit platter. It has to have layers that are so tall you don't even know what's underneath over there. or they have to at least make it look like that, like they have, you know, the Shalach Madison that they send where you have it looks like there's who knows what's inside over there. An oitzer of chocolate, right? There's an oitzer inside. And then you take the top thing, you see that underneath is like those papers. There's like five chocolates underneath this. There's nothing there underneath. No, things have to be only very big and very exciting. And, Not for samachta b'chol atoyv, ata b'secha. Ata b'secha means you have a house, you should be happy. You have a roof over your head. That's not a simcha. Our lack of simcha is not because of the external conditions. Because Baruch Hashem, things are good. Our lack of simcha is due to our lack of a proper histakhlus, a proper way of looking at things. Because you really should ask. Our generation is kamat, isn't missing anything. We're not sitting there waiting, wondering when we're going to have the next meal. We're wondering, I'm not going to be fleishigs. When am I not going to be fleishigs? Person stands there looking at the ice cream, looking into the freezer for a half hour. I heard that there's some people that wait into the sixth hour. Isn't that true? Into the sixth hour. The kids used to ask me those things. I say, you're going to wait today 8 hours. Into the sixth hour. What's burning by you? Because you didn't have anything to eat before. You can't wait. It's into this. Who says into the sixth hour? Into the sixth hour. Yeah, but the yakis only wait 3 hours. You're not a yakis, and you're not hungry, so there's nothing to worry about. Into the sixth hour. No? That's what we're waiting for. Not if I'm going to have anything to eat today. Not if there's anything that I'm going to put into my mouth today. But when am I already able to have milchis? It's hard for me to wait for so long to have some milchis. To make a cheshbon matzah Shabbos, because now Shabbos is out early. No, when did we finish the meal? This is what Jews are sitting out thinking about after Havdalah, right? When did we finish? So we finished at 2:12, but then someone else says, yeah, but we were saying a few smears. So the fleishigs was probably finished by 1:42. By 1:42. So you can have a pizza now? Everybody look around at pizza? I think 1:42, maybe even 1:30. Maybe 1:30. When did we sing the Dro Yikra? No, that was already. No, I think that was at 2 o'clock we were singing Dro Yikra. That was the last fleishigs we had. Yeah, I think we can have pizza now. This is our big problems that we have. The tzaris that we have. But still people are not happy. What kind of pizza is this? I remember when there used to be the other pizza place, it was much better. It's no good. Why is it there's so much depression, so much sadness affecting so many Jews, and people are surrounded, but it's such a big part of the population. I have to tell you what goes on. Oh, it's very good. But the depression and the sadness, even little children, all kinds of medications and drugs, because the children are sad. Little children are sad. Instead of laughing in the streets of Yerushalayim, little children are depressed. They have everything that they need. This makes me crazy. And they're sad. They're depressed. They have to get medication because they're not happy. It's not about having or not having. It's about the nekudas es darkness. Mr. Shem will continue. We have a minion to daven. Yeah.
Raise your hand, guys. I think we're very good.